Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the final hour of the program for today, anyway. And it looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day out there. That's really all you need, right? Kind of nice sunshine and get you in a better mood, right? So, it's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. A couple of interesting things that are going on. Over the weekend, Leo Choquette switched parties. Leo Choquette, city councilor in Ward 1, right? He's run at large, and he was elected by Ward 1. Nice showing. He defeated an incumbent city councilor. He's been the Ward 1 city councilor now, and then he was just reelected, right, to another two-year term. He overwhelmingly defeated his opponent. His opponent was a Bernie Sanders type who had support of the Coalition for Social Justice and that radical group, right? I mean, I liked, personally, his opponent, Matt Marco, but his politics are certainly not what they want in Ward 1, I don't think. But Leo Choquette had always been a Democrat, a mainstream conservative Democrat. But he switched parties this weekend to the Republican Party. He said he'd had enough of the Democrat Party. Now, we'll get Leo in before the week is out. I've talked to him a couple of times. And, well, I talked to him a couple of times before he switched, too. But since he switched, I've talked to him a couple of times, and boy, he really, really seems happy with what he did. Really recognizes it was the right decision for him and for the majority of his constituents to say, I'm a free man, and I'm not going to be pushed around within the Democrat Party. See, here's the thing that was going on. Certain people within the Democrat Party of the city of New Bedford were trying to tell Leo what to do, pushing him around, little Stalinists, little Cuban type pressure groups, right? Stalinist Democrats, little Fidel Castro type Democrats, trying to put pressure on Leo Choquette. He'd had enough. He had enough. And this weekend, it built to a head. And he left the Democrat Party and signed on with the Massachusetts Republican Party. So I say congratulations, Leo Choquette. I know he's been inundated with congratulations, phone calls, and high-level phone calls. Everybody running for governor is reaching out to Leo Choquette. Everybody running for governor is reaching out to Leo Choquette. And I think it's a good job by Leo to switch parties. Because this is a free country. You can't, just because you're a member of a political party, doesn't mean you get told what to do. Certainly not by people who are dimwits, in my opinion, and I think in Leo's as well. I think he was really surprised at the way some of his fellow Democrats were treating him and trying to treat him. So, anyway, we're all proud of you, Leo. And later on this week, at least, he'll be in here. We'll have the mayor of New Bedford in tomorrow. It's Wednesday. The mayor of New Bedford will be here. That's always a good program. The other thing that's going on is Sean Oliver is really stepping up to try to put South Coast and the city of New Bedford in the light, in a very positive light. Sean Oliver is trying to arrange for a debate by the Republican candidates running for governor. So that's Brian Shortsleeve, Mike Keneally, and Michael Minogue. Those three gentlemen, they've all been here on the program. They've all been down here to visit. All three have taken tours of the waterfront. They have their own local supporters. But Sean Oliver wants to put a debate together, and I support him 100%, for all three candidates to get together and hash out the issues that are important to the state, important in greater New Bedford, and New Bedford in particular. And that has not been ever done before, I don't believe. We all have them coming through on tours, but to get the three of them, one of them, who I believe will be the next governor, because I don't think Maura Healey's going to get reelected. I really don't. As a former voter for Maura Healey, I couldn't vote for her again, and I think a lot of you are in that position. So I think Sean Oliver's doing something really important for the whole region, all of Bristol County, quite frankly, Plymouth County as well. I'm trying to get the Republican candidates to hold a debate. He's going to hold it for them to attend. So if you've got any connection to any of the three candidates for governor running on the Republican side, please encourage them to say yes to Sean Oliver and his debate here on South Coast. Anyway, kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes, good morning, Chris.
Hello.
Just wanted to call and comment on the current situation going on Brown University and around the world.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, one of the things I noticed with the Brown University, this guy dresses like a security guard. When you look at his pants, his shoes, he's even built like a security guard. You know, your typical, right?
Right.
So, you know, had an extensive knowledge of Brown University, was able to dodge all the cameras. One of the student teachers, had eye-to-eye contact with him and saw the gun and became intimidated. So I think this guy has some kind of ties to Brown University, either a former employer, maybe a security guard somewhere in that area.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to know how to avoid the cameras. Obviously, he knew not to bring a cell phone.
Yes.
Not to be tracked. And, you know, this is also the first day of Hanukkah, although I don't believe that the girl, she was a Christian and a Republican. I don't know if that is a tie into that. But you look at Paris has canceled their New Year's Eve celebration because of suspected terrorism. The FBI just caught those people out there on the West Coast that was going to attack New Year's Eve and then go after ICE. We had the terrorist attack down there in all part of, they were, now these guys are part of ISIS down there in Australia.
Yes.
And this is all, they don't, and the other thing is this guy said something when he went into the classroom, but nobody remembers what it was.
Hmm.
You know, could it have been, you know, something about the Intifada or whatever, globalized the Intifada. These seem to be loosely coordinated attacks, probably coming out of the Middle East, and they, you know, they have these control of these networks here in the United States. We know that 18 Biden let in 18,000 Middle East terrorists on the terrorist watch list, and just let them right into the country. They let in 100,000. Chinese military age men into this country. You know, this could be something coming a lot bigger than what we know.
Yeah, I agree with you. If I over the years had the privilege to read all the Tom Clancy books. And so, you know, in those books always were like that. There'd be a couple little incidents around the world, and all of a sudden it would culminate into a big, huge event. And I feel the same way. You wonder sometimes, is this coincidence or is it coordinated?
Well, that's the way, you know, even with the Brown University, the way that they have such loose security that anyone can walk into any one of their buildings. Yes. And the students were complaining about that. They don't, you know, you don't even have to have an ID. I guess it must be Democrats have something about against IDs or something. I don't know. But, you know, you look at over in New York where they had to invalidate half of the CDLs that they had given out because they gave them away to illegal immigrants. And they had an expiration date of 8 years. What CDL license has an expiration date of 8 years? All this stuff is intentional. And, you know, people talk about some kind of grand conspiracy, but it seems like it's loosely, you know, intentionally loosely related so that it can't be tied together.
Yes. No, I always felt that Massachusetts in particular, but other northeastern states like Rhode Island, like New York, were giving out IDs, driver's licenses, to try to attract more illegal aliens to their states and ultimately to impact the population in the census and the congressional districts. That's what I always felt.
Well, I think that's part of it. But I think also part of it is that they're also voting. And this mail-in voting and also all of the, you know, when's the last time we ever had an audit of the voting system? The Democrats control that Michelle Tazaneri is the Democrats national director of Election Alliance or whatever I forget the actual term of it, but it's a Democrat controlled voting block that works out of our Secretary of State's office. Dr. Shiva was the one that uncovered all this back in 2018, and he couldn't even get in a courtroom with it. No lawyer would take his case. And, you know, this stuff has gone on for years. And this is, we're talking about the Republican Party here. And,
yes,
you know, the city council just became a Republican and all that. But, I mean, they need to really come in to take a different stand on what they're doing. You can't run a conventional election here in Massachusetts and expect to unseat a Democrat. These guys, the Democrats, pull out the stops. They on every single thing there is. They control all of the elections. They control all the cities and towns. And in order to upset Mara Healey, it's going to be a huge lift. Not as confident as you are that she's going to be voted out, because of the amount of power that the Democrats have. And I haven't heard, I've heard a lot of people, I've talked about this on this station before, and I hear a lot of other people talking about it, that these Republicans better have a candidate by March or April and not wait until October to fight, to think that they're going to have 30 days to unseat her, because it's going to be another thing just like Virginia, just like New Jersey, 60-40, 60-40, 60-40, the way it normally is with most of the Democrat and Republican races here in Massachusetts.
Thank you, my friend, for the call. I I do know that on the U.S. Senate side, the Republican Party has already picked a candidate. John Deaton appealed to the leadership of the state party, the Republican State Committee, and they selected him to be the nominee ahead of the convention. So when it comes to the U.S. Senate candidate, the Republicans already have their candidate, while the Democrats are still trying to settle the nomination. It'll likely be Ed Markey over Seth Moulton. Seth has a good career in the Marines. But I think he's just trying to run as a younger Ed Markey, and that didn't work for young Kennedy. And he's a Kennedy, Joe Kennedy. So I don't know why it would work for Moulton. But it'll be John Deaton on the Republican side. As for the governor's candidates, those three gentlemen are going to have to work it out. It'll go to the convention. I believe it will. And maybe they can work it out before the primary. I don't know. I don't think they can, though. Anyway, 508-996-05. It's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. And by the way, with the untimely, unfortunate death of Bruce Oliveira, there is an opening on the school committee that will be filled by a convention of the city council and the existing members of the school committee next year. They're taking applications now. Applications are being accepted right now to fill the unexpired term of Bruce Oliveira, the late Bruce Oliveira. Stick around, we'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I can show you deals you normally don't see, and that's at Carter's Clothing. Great place to shop for Christmas. Two locations, one in New Bedford, one in Fall River. Both locations have free parking. Carter's Clothing, family-owned business, and they've been doing it for 78 years. Carter's Clothing's been the South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, they are making gift giving even easier. I know I've been shopping there all through the season this year. Carter's has the best prices on top name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chipawea, New Balance, and more. You got to go in the store and see. They even have unique New Bedford products that really people who've moved away or people who live here really find to be great gifts. Find something for everyone. With over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels and hoodies, and jackets and vests, perfect for the winter weather. Free parking available at both locations. Gift cards are available in any denomination. Shop small. Shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit them online at CartersMA.com. I was on the website yesterday. It's very easy to use. So check out the Carters online. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes, Frankie Five Angels here. How you doing?
Good, my friend. How are you?
Well, not too good because, all this death and killing and everything, especially around this time of the season, no matter where it is, whether it's in Providence or in Australia or out in California with Rob Reiner and his wife there. It's a terrible time of year for it to happen, too. So I just like to try to, and I hope in time all these things get sorted out and what happened. You got the Walsh guy with his wife, too, and everything just got convicted. Terrible. But it is. It's a terrible time to have it, too, because it's a time of happiness, supposedly, and families and just awful. But I'd like to just go back to some local normalcy, if I can.
And sure, get go ahead.
Your information about it, because I rely upon you to find out about these things. Something that happened locally that I was interested, the mayor submitted a name of the chief to the city council. Did the city council meet with the chief and confirm the mayor's submission?
I believe that's going to happen tonight.
Oh, good, good. Get something normal to happen around here, something that's easier than normal. Yeah, and to me, the mayor downplayed it, but that was a big give by him.
Okay? Oh, I agree with you.
He didn't acknowledge that he had to do it, but he did it, and you did it. You did it. So now let's see if this, if the city council, you know, comes through and meets with the chief and confirms somebody that I think they don't have any reason to not confirm. What say you, my friend?
So my concern is I have heard from a number of people on that city council that they wanted a different person to be the chief, who's currently a captain, and they wanted the local guy. And I hope they don't pull that kind of drama.
Yes, I can understand them wanting the local guy. I think they've always had a local guy except for Chief Kelly,
yes.
If you remember. I used to live down at the end of the fort across from me. He still does. Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
He came and he liked it. He liked walking around the fort, so to speak, you know. So that's great, you know. I would always want to favor a local candidate too, somebody who's given their life to the force. You know, you talk about your friend Turcotte, is it?
Yeah.
Hank Turgeon. Yeah, like if somebody like that was coming up for it and he wanted it, yeah, obviously I would say, sure, the guy and his whole family has given their lives to the city. But every so often, it might be good to bring in somebody new. This guy's coming from Hartford, Connecticut, so he's not coming from any backwater place. He's coming from a bigger job, so to speak.
Right.
So, I see nothing wrong with having occasionally somebody from the outside, although I understand where people would want to, you know, promote somebody from within. I think it's good. But again, as soon as you become the chief, and even if you're within and you're one of the best guys, even the police union wants you, all of a sudden now the mayor's your boss and you're going to do what the mayor says.
Yes.
So you become very unpopular all of a sudden. But, you know, nonetheless, I just hope this goes through like a normal activity. You know, the mayor submits a name. They had a search committee. Brian Rose was on there. Brian Gomes, I'm sorry. Brian Gomes was on there. And also your friend Sean Oliver.
Yes.
So the city council had representation, as it should be. It's had some input. And then the mayor was probably given a number of candidates he could select from. And he chose the gentleman we have now. Jason Jody, is it like that? Again,
Jason
I don't
Thody.
Have my...
Thody.
Jody, okay.
Thody.
T-H-O-D-Y.
Okay, Thody, I'm sorry. So that's why I come to you, so you can correct me on these things.
Yeah,
all my head.
No, thanks for the call, my friend, as always. Yes. I appreciate the contribution. Tim, go ahead.
I figured it'd be easier to just jump over here than write you a note.
Sure.
So they will have the hearing tonight, but then it's going to get referred to the full council.
Okay.
So it probably won't happen tonight that it's official. It would happen in one of the first meetings of the new city council.
Okay.
I asked Council President Burgo yesterday if there's any concern that having two new members of the city council, then when that happens, will be a problem. And he said no, that both James Roy and Scott Pemberton have been at these meetings and they've been part of this and present. They've been talking to Chief Thody. So it should go through without a problem. And just as a personal point,
yeah,
I think that if the city council decided not to push Chief Thody through, say they wanted Nate Rodriguez or whoever else, and they decided to use this opportunity to say no, that would essentially then make the mayor say, I'm never sending you somebody again for confirmation.
Right.
So I think, and as you talk to counselors, I talk to counselors, yeah, everybody seems to be universally impressed with Chief Thody and the job that he's been
yes.
doing. So I don't think it'll be a problem. The New Bedford to Hartford pipeline continues.
Who was that before?
The previous superintendent came from Hartford. And then when he left, he went to Hartford. He didn't come directly from Hartford, but he's from Hartford originally.
Okay.
And then he went home to Hartford. East Hartford, West Hartford, Hartford, whatever. But it's just interesting.
And Mark Twain, who lived in Fayhaven, also lived in Hartford.
I've been to his house in Hartford. It's haunted.
Is it?
Yeah. It's also awesome. It's a really cool. It's funny because it's in the middle of a really bad neighborhood. And so the first thing I said when I got out of the car is, why did Mark Twain build himself a house in the ghetto? But I guess it wasn't back then.
Tim, what do you make of Brown University? Have we learned anything new today?
No, I've been working on some paperwork issues, so I haven't really been paying attention.
It's crazy, though.
I think that, as I was saying this morning, I find it shocking that they didn't have more surveillance footage. And I found it interesting that they told us on Sunday, this is all the surveillance footage that we have because there's no other cameras. And then on Monday, they come up with three more pieces of video. So I think that there's probably more cameras around there than they realize. Mm-hmm. Being a college campus and being the end of the school year, there's probably some unoccupied buildings or, you know, they have to find out, you know, who's in charge of this building and we need to find this person. So it's a little bit more legwork, but I don't know. I think somebody's got to know who this guy is, or at least who this guy might be.
Right.
I mean, when you look at it, it's pretty, the jacket was relatively distinctive. I think what would be helpful is if they could find the jacket itself. So if you take that picture of what the jacket looks like,
yep,
and then you kind of match that to like a Google shopping image of what it might actually look like, and then you put that out, that might be something that helps people. So
you should be on the team, Tim.
I mean, I know about as much as they know right now, so.
No, but I mean, that like, it's amazing to me that they grabbed a guy, they were bragging about it, and it fell apart.
Well, what's really interesting about that is, and I saw this point brought up on the news last night, when they thought that they had the right person, they stopped looking.
Yes.
Like, you still need evidence to be able to get this person. Why would you stop looking? And why would you leave things to chance when you know there's a snowstorm coming in?
Right.
I don't know.
No, it's
Maybe the Canton police were too busy. They didn't have enough Stop and Shop bags.
Red Solo cups. It is, you don't like to second guess law enforcement. You don't like to second guess political leadership, particularly after a mass shooting and all of that stuff. But it's really leaves a lot to be desired.
You've also been around this long enough to know, and you've been on the other side of it as an elected official dealing with the police department. They could know a lot of things that they're just not telling us. So, you know, just because law enforcement isn't letting anything leak out, which normally happens in some investigations, they leak to a source or a source leaks to.
Well, they leak the name.
But I think maybe they aren't doing that at all this time. But maybe they do know who this is. I don't know.
It is frightening, though, that the guy's walking among us, we believe.
So there's one school of thought that says this guy is nowhere near Providence anymore because, like, why would you hang around knowing that everybody's there looking for you?
Right.
The other school of thought would be he really didn't seem like he was in a rush to leave the scene after it happened.
I agree.
So that, to me, just, you know, I think maybe this guy thinks that he's in the clear. But that could also be why they're saying we have no idea, and maybe they're trying to lure him out.
Right.
So, no.
But, Tim, we did see where in the Boston Marathon bombing, the FBI was not as forthcoming as they could have been.
Right. And as it turns out, you know, that was a relatively quick nabbing of the suspects.
Right.
So,
Tim, I appreciate your input. Folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Kind of open phone. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Well, it does matter to me, and you got to believe that Mac Auto Sales is the great place to bring your car. This family-owned business, they repair and update all makes and models of automobiles, just like yours. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming winter weather, and I'm sure you do, call and make an appointment today at Mac Auto Sales and Repair, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5 for your convenience. You say you have a foreign car, I say, that's a great deal. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign automobiles, just like the one you drive. They're like the one Tim drives that rides like it's brand new now. So bring your car there. And make sure you mention WBSM. They'll give you a break on the bill. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. So, I think it's an absolute tragedy that Rob Reiner was apparently, and his wife, murdered by their own son. I mean, look, I didn't always agree with Rob Reiner politically, but that doesn't matter to me. I mean, as much as I am passionate about politics, I really don't care what another person believes. I just don't. I don't care enough to want some harm to come to them. That's not how I see the world. I'm willing to listen to other people's opinions. Sometimes I will moderate my own opinion because someone makes a good case. I think Rob Reiner, incredibly talented producer and director. I mean, one of my favorite movies was Spinal Tap. And there were a whole bunch of other movies that kind of spun off from Spinal Tap, those mockumentaries, Best in Show. I don't know if Rob Reiner had anything to do with that, but a lot of the guys who were in Spinal Tap went on to do the mockumentary Best in Show about the world of dog shows. Just a great movie. But When Harry Met Sally, I mean, that movie is an incredible movie. I was talking with Marcus Farrow about it this morning, and he knows the movie, but I don't think he'd ever heard the pure version. In other words, it came out in the 1980s, late 1980s, 1989 to be exact, on the heels of Live Aid and the famine in Ethiopia. Remember the famine in Ethiopia? All those people were starving. So there's a line in the original When Harry Met Sally. They often bleep the line out, where Harry, right, Billy Crystal, is moving a carpet with Meg Ryan, Sally, and he's talking about a date he went on. And she wanted to go to this hot new Ethiopian restaurant. So he agreed to go. And he said, hey, I figured we'd be out of there in no time at all. We'd order two plates of nothing, and then we'd leave. Today, when you see Harry Met Sally on some channel like USA or one of the music channels, I think it's on from time to time, VH1, when they're playing it, I've noticed, because that's one of those movies I stop and watch no matter what, because I mean, there's some really funny lines in it. Generally, they blank that line out. I don't know why. It's not a curse at all. And it's historically accurate for the time period. I don't know what Ethiopia is like today. But at the time, 1989, 88, it was ravished by famine. So for Billy Crystal to make that joke, it was very timely. I mean, it was insensitive, but anyway. Nora Ephron wrote that movie. She was married to Carl Bernstein. And Rob Reiner directed it. I just think it's a great movie. It's one of those movies that when I see it on television, if I'm not doing anything, I stop and watch it. Because there's so many funny lines in it. I mean, there really are so many funny lines in When Harry Met Sally. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend it. It's funny, I tell particularly girls, younger girls, they ought to see it. I think it's the original romantic comedy. I'm not sure. I've heard something about that. But I just think it's incredibly tragic that he and his wife were murdered by their own son. Terrible. Because I got to imagine he had a few movies left in him. And look, I get it. He was a fierce partisan and really didn't like the president. I like the president. I voted for the president. I won't have the opportunity again, but I guess like I would. In a different world, I'd vote for Trump again. I like what he's doing. But you know what? Rob Reiner also put forward that cigarette tax in California. I'm not a big fan of additional taxes. But the money went to children's education, and we do a lot of the similar things here in Massachusetts. The fact they had to do a ballot referendum in Los Angeles is, or California rather, pretty interesting. So anyway, I'm going to miss Meathead. I'm going to miss Meathead. Maybe some of you won't. But to me, people's political opinion shouldn't earn them the death penalty. And it didn't in this case, obviously. It was his own troubled son who's in custody for killing him. But just like I didn't like when people wished the president harm because of his political opinions and sometimes outrageous remarks. If I thought that was wrong, how could I now in some ways celebrate Rob Reiner's death, which I don't, because I think he was an incredibly talented entertainer. And so was his dad. Too bad his son couldn't have been a little more entertaining and a little less combative. Take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back to the program, to the final hour of the program for today. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Let's go over to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How you doing, my friend?
Doing all right. Tell me something, Chris. Didn't you find it really disturbing what our president had to say about Reiner?
Yeah, I thought it was unnecessary and disturbing.
I'm still to hear you say that because I wasn't sure where you stood on that.
No, come on. Right.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think you did, but no. I wasn't sure, to be honest with you.
You know, my feeling is this, and I saw some people online say, well, Rob Reiner said bad things about the president. And that's true, but he's not the president. When you're the president, you got to act for everybody, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, just being a human being and to have some compassion. I mean, I didn't like Mr. Kurt, but when he got assassinated, I really was just, it was very disturbing, and I felt really bad for the guy. And I wouldn't say a bad thing about him, especially when it first happened. You know, maybe somebody asked me, well, no, I didn't, I wasn't on board with what he was putting out there, but I definitely didn't want to see him get shot or assassinated, you want to put it. I mean, when Donald Trump came up with that, I went, is this for real, or is this one of those AI things?
Right. No, I read it, and I thought, just what you thought, I thought, come on, is that real? But it is real, because I have Truth Social, so I can go to Truth Social and check, and it was there.
It's unbelievable. Anyway,
yeah.
I'd like to hear what the other callers have to think about this, but thanks.
Thank you, my man. Thanks.
And if I don't hear that, you're still in my corner.
Yeah. No, listen, I mean, look, I voted for the president. I support the president and everything else, but sometimes he gets ahead of himself. And I don't know where it comes from, except that he has taken a lot of abuse. That's no excuse, because when you're the president, you got to be better than everybody else, right? That's why I was so disappointed in Bill Clinton with his personal letdowns and other people, right? No, I didn't think it was, first of all, a man was murdered by his son. I can't think of anything worse than that, right? to have your own flesh and blood murder you? I mean, that's biblical in its horrifying impact. And think about the fact that there are other children left behind who are going to, I mean, it's just horrible. And so for the president to weigh in on that and such in the manner that he did was beneath him, quite frankly, beneath him. I think it was beneath Donald Trump. And look, I get that Rob Reiner said some bad things about him, but Rob Reiner wasn't the president. You understand? There's a difference. There's a difference. Just like, in, you know, callers say things here on the radio that many of you don't approve of, and I don't approve of, but when the hosts say it, it's different because we're here as professionals and all of that, and so we're held to a different standard than the callers, and the president of the United States is certainly held to a different standard as well. Okay. But he's still doing a great job. That being said. All right, guys, listen. I'm going to go across the street, get all my blood taken out of my body, cleansed and put back in. And God willing, I'll be back here tomorrow with the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Right? And actually, Bob and Jeremy Waxler, father and son, will be here tomorrow to talk about Bob Waxler's new book. So that'll be kind of fun, too. My friend Jeremy.